Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. We are continuing on in Advent, and I am grateful to be your traveling companion through this holy season. My name is Patrick Conley. As always, glad to be with you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening, whether you're listening on Relevant Radio 1330 AM or in going back into our archives and listening there. It's still great to have you with us. So on the second week or the second Sunday of Advent, we are, yes, once more enmeshed in the season of hope. And that's what our readings reflect to us today as well, as we are looking at the readings from the second Sunday of Advent. We're now back to the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel here, as we are now in lectionary cycle B. We're going to hear a lot from Mark throughout this year. And he takes us right back to the very beginning. In fact, that's how he starts, right? He starts with the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bishop Barron does an excellent little piece on this, where he's talking about how the courier of good news was to run into towns shouting, good news for Caesar. And at this point, of course, Mark is taking a page from that and one-upping him. Yeah, going to the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in other words, the Son of God. And it starts out with an Old Testament prophecy. And I think that's one of the important things as we look into, well, all of Jesus' life, certainly, but in this season of Advent, to remember the history of God's working with his people, salvation history, and how from the very earliest chapters, from the very earliest verses of Holy Scripture, we see God making covenant after covenant with his people. He has this relentless pursuit of his people throughout the Scriptures. It doesn't just start with Mark chapter 1, but it goes all the way back. And in fact, we do have a reading from Isaiah chapter 40 as well that echoes the prophecy that Mark starts off with. Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And so the necessity of understanding this is also understanding that God's fidelity and refusal to give up on his people is something that we see all the time. Back in Isaiah's day, Deuteronomy is foretelling the end of the Babylonian captivity, which even these historical events of Israel being in captivity, in exile, in Babylon, that there was still cause for hope even there. And now Mark is applying that same prophecy to Jesus Christ, specifically to John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist, clothed in clothing that is reminiscent of the prophet Elijah, he is witnessing in the time of the Messiah, and he is foretelling this coming of this Messiah who will forge for himself a new people. So it's not just about the deliverance of the nation of Israel, as it was in the Babylonian captivity, and God's relentless pursuit of his son Israel there, but it is actually expanding that and showing that God himself will forge a new people for himself in and through the person of Jesus Christ and in and through the practice of baptism. Baptism, as John the Baptist himself talks about, yes, with water, a water that signifies the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That's the baptism that, of course, John was giving in the wilderness, really a hallmark practice of conversion. So we see that happening, but he also foretells that this Jesus who is coming will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So it's a both-and type of thing again, which we Catholics love our both-ands, don't we? So it is repentance and conversion and the Holy Spirit. So we are, again, remade and given if you will, a new shot at partaking in the divine nature as God does pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Wow, there's just so many things going on here. And I guess my takeaway from this one is, again, to renew this sense of hope. So even Israel, when it was away in Babylonian captivity, was called to renew a sense of hope that the Lord will not give up on his people. And that even in a time of suffering, there is more than enough reason to turn to the Lord and place all of our hope in him. So now it is the same. So we are in the midst of trying times here, still in the midst of a pandemic. As winter kind of comes around us too, we are reminded of kind of the desolation of nature during this winter season. But yet there is time for hope, and that's what Advent is all about. That's what John the Baptist was all about. And of course, that's what God intends for us, is to place all of our hope in him and to live as people of hope, sharing that hope with others. Got a great show coming up for us today here. We've got Father Paul Hedman is going to be with us to talk about the COVID Anointing Corps and what's going on with them, especially as we've been seeing increase in numbers recently in the pandemic. A little bit later on, Jeff Dahls from the interim director of the Benedictine Center of St. Paul's Monastery is going to be with us to talk about Christmas at the monastery. And then John Cassidy and Corey LaCroix from Our Lady of Grace, as part of our Great Catholic Parishes segment, they're going to be talking about live streaming Mass during this time of COVID as well. That's what's coming up. Let's start, as always, with a prayer to our Lord, giving the show over to him through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest is Father Paul Hedman, who is the Associate Pastor and Parochial Vicar of St. Peter's in Forest Lake. He is also the Thomas D. Sullivan Medalist in Philosophy from the University of St. Thomas. He was that as well. He enjoys biking and running, playing cards, computer coding. We've talked to him about that before, and occasionally some video games as well. Father, I don't know where you find time for video games, but certainly welcome to the program. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know where I find time either. Certainly has decreased a lot since I've been ordained, let me tell you.
I can imagine that. And we should say congratulations. I believe last time we had you on, you were Deacon Paul Hedman. Now you're Father Paul Hedman. Congratulations on your ordination,
Thank
Father.
Thank you. Yeah. It's been, it's actually was 6 months ago yesterday.
It's
been quite a 6 months.
Very good. Very. Yeah, I can imagine. And you are jumping in with both feet, as it were, because you are now... Yeah, exactly. Baptism by fire, an unusual ordination day followed by, I can imagine, what might stack up to be a rather unusual priestly ministry, at least first year of priestly ministry. Mm-hmm. So staying within the limits of confidentiality, Father, what can you tell us about your work with the COVID Anointing Corps?
You know, so around mid-August or so, an email went out asking for more priests to sign up for the COVID Anointing Corps. Originally, it was started in, April or May. There was a first group of priests who started doing that, and I wasn't ordained yet, so I couldn't quite join in. But around August, another call went out for priests to join up because a few priests had to drop out. A few priests moved away from the Twin Cities, so they needed more priests to help out. And so I thought about it and prayed about it and talked with my pastor, and I decided to volunteer my name in the hat. So since the end of August, I've done, 15 anointings of people with COVID.
Wow.
And I know others have done even more. But it's been a blessed ministry being able to do that, especially, I could have never pictured myself doing this a year ago. You know, there's so much mm-hmm. that, you know, you look back on, you know, photos from a year before that, you know, pop up in social media, and you're like, man, a year ago, I never would have expected to be where I am right now, you know?
Right.
There's just so much craziness.
I think that's a great message for Advent, actually. You know, it is a season of expectation, but let's try to make our expectations as much as we can in line with God's, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good thing.
That God will do his thing, and we shouldn't expect much else.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Very good. So give us a little insight into when you receive the call, what kind of gear do you use, and how often are you on call?
Yeah, so the way it works is, just like there's, you know, a corps of volunteer priests, there's also a corps of volunteer nurses and medical professionals who they sort of man the hotline that the parishes call in. So then they'll figure out, you know, what situation the person is in, whether we'll actually be able to go into the hospital. They'll call the hospital or nursing home, or if it's a private residence, they'll try to coordinate how to get us in there. And then after they do that, they'll send one of us a text, and they'll say, you know, hey, Father Hedman, can you do this anointing at this place? And, you know, I'll see if I can fit it in or not. Usually it'll be about, you know, 2 hours from when I get the text to, you know, when I'd be able to get back to the rectory, so to speak. So I have to have about a 2-hour chunk of time that I'll be able to give up, so to speak. If I can fit that into my own parish schedule, I'll respond and say, yes, I can. Or, you know, I'll try to figure out what I can do to make it work. So I'll get the text, and so I'll get all my gear together. So that includes a N95 mask, a face shield, a hospital gown, and then a few plastic baggies with a cotton ball with the holy oil on it. Gloves, and then I change into a different pair of clerical clothes because when I get back, I have to wash them on hot, and I don't want the blacks to fade. I have a special set of clerics that I'm fine with them getting faded by washing them on hot, so I put those on too, and then I head out.
So many things to think about. Wow.
Yep.
Even fading clerics. Yeah, I can imagine that. Right. Yeah. Okay. Again, I know with any anointing, not just with COVID, there's both, I'm sure, challenging times, but there's also times of optimistic and joyful moments. You know, there's times when you encounter the Lord really working in that sort of way. Is there anything that you can share about the experiences that you've had that have embodied both of those, either the challenging or the joyful?
Yeah. It's always really challenging. Sometimes you'll go out for an anointing and the hospital will allow the family to be in there too. So to be there with a sorrowful family can be, it's beautiful that they're able to be there, but it can also be a real just emotional challenge to be there with them as well and to accompany them through this very difficult time. But that there's a beauty in that too, even in that difficulty, you know. So whenever we go out to do an anointing, we aren't generally able to get into the hospitals unless the person is very close to the end. So everyone that I'm anointing is, you know, very near death, you know, within, you know, a couple days probably. But there have been a couple anointings that I've done where I've heard that the person recovered afterwards, which is just
wow.
So beautiful.
There
have been at least two that I know of. Where after I anointed them, you know, our Lord provided them with more than just spiritual healing, you know, but a real physical healing as well, which is just outstandingly beautiful to hear, you know, because we go in and, you know, we know that this person is near death and they're expected to die within, you know, a couple days or even hours after we anoint them. So to hear that, you know, they actually ended up turning around and recovering is a really beautiful thing to hear.
Mm-hmm. If you could, Father, pull back the veil a little bit on your own experience of these things, and as you're in these, I mean, obviously very, I want to use the word sterile environments, because of course, physically, as you described, you're trying to be as clean as possible and not allowing any transmission of the virus going on that way. But at the same time, It must do something to you as well as you are providing these anointings. Would you describe it more along the lines of it being a taxing time, or is it something that really fills you with a sense of God's presence, or maybe is it both?
You know, I don't think I've ever gone to one of these COVID anointings and on the way back said, wow, that was a waste of time. It's always been a very fulfilling experience, you know, and sometimes when they're you know, when I get the call at 10 o'clock at night, I can, you know, my immediate reaction can sometimes be, oh gosh, I have the morning mass. I'm going to be real tired in the morning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, driving back from the anointings, there's never any regret. There's never any regret having signed up for the ministry. It's always just a very beautiful experience to be able to sort of accompany someone in their last moments as I sort of hand them off to God, so to speak.
Yeah. Any thoughts about how this experience is going to shape your priesthood in years to come? Any things that are going on in terms of your own spiritual and personal development as a result of these anointings, of taking part in these anointings?
You know, I think one of the things in seminary that I always wanted to do a little bit more of was a little bit more hospital ministry. I think I could have had a little bit more opportunity to do that. It was something that I really wanted to do a bit more of. And so here I am in my first year of priesthood getting quite a bit of it. And I think it's not exactly the way that I had pictured it happening, but I'm really thankful for it, being able to, you know, just get even more experience in this ministry. And it's certainly preparing me for the rest of my priesthood in a very special way.
Sure. Well, in non-pandemic times, I know oftentimes there's a look for, of course, where the patient is a parishioner, if that's applicable, and then whether that's by membership or by geography and that sort of thing. I'm just curious, with the COVID core, is it geographically based as well? Do they try to find you anointings to do that are close to you there in Forest Lake, or is it really you could be sent wherever?
They do try to find anointings that are, you know, within a certain drivable range. I've anointed a couple parishioners here from up in Forest Lake, or, you know, in the immediate sort of Forest Lake area. We have a hospital up here and a few nursing homes as well that I've gone into for anointings. But for the most part, all get sent down to like the St. Paul area, so Regions or Bethesda. Those will generally be the places that I'll get sent. I wouldn't usually get sent to Minneapolis or any of the Minneapolis suburbs for an anointing.
Okay.
Because being up in Forest Lake, it can take a little bit to get down there, especially sure. So when time is of the essence. So yeah, they try to have sort of a geographical area that each of us will get sent to. But sometimes, you know, priests aren't available to go who are in the closer area. So I have had to go sometimes to, you know, a bit further away. I've gone to St. Louis Park or to Robbinsdale as well. So a little bit further drive, but, you know, I love driving and I love doing the Lord's work, so it doesn't matter a whole ton to me. So,
amen. Well, we are grateful you continue to do the Lord's work. We're speaking with Father Paul Hedman here about the COVID Anointing Corps of priests who are specifically trained and geared up to go and offer the anointing of the sick to those who are struggling with COVID, and as Father told us, they're nearing the end oftentimes in these situations. Father, too, if you can you share a little bit about what the spirit or attitude is amongst the patients themselves? I mean, are they at a point of accepting this, looking even forward to if death is imminent to seeing the Lord, and are they welcoming of you and the anointing, or are they more filled with some amount of fear and trepidation as they're on death's door and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, I wish I could give a more cheery answer, but probably only about 3 or 4 of the 15 COVID anointings I've done have the patients been actually conscious. So for the most part, with it being very near the end, they're intubated, they're very out of
sure.
it. And so oftentimes they're unconscious or asleep, and I'm not able to sort of see their reaction, so to speak. You know, I hope that, you know, they're able to hear me, they're able to participate in some way. But those patients who have been awake, who have been able to, you know, sort of participate in the sacrament, you know, with the responses and stuff. You know, I did one a couple just a week or two ago where, you know, he couldn't speak, but he was making the sign of the cross along with me whenever I did that during the rite. So it was very beautiful to see.
Yeah,
so I think there's sort of a, you know, an acceptance among those who, you know, who have been awake and alert, and they really appreciate being able to receive the sacrament. So it's a very beautiful thing. But unfortunately, most of the people who I have anointed are unconscious or not able to respond, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Well, of course, we want to continue to support you and our brothers and sisters who are suffering from COVID. What are some of the specific ways that we laity can support you and the work of the whole Anointing Corps?
Well, you can sign up to get text alerts every time that a priest goes out to do an anointing. So if you go to the Archdiocesan website, just search COVID Anointing ArchSPM on Google, you can sign up to get a text message alert every time that a priest goes out to do one of these COVID anointings. And the purpose of the alert is, you know, the text message says, please pray one Our Father, one Hail Mary, and one Glory Be for the person being anointed and for the safety of the priest going out to do the anointing. So I'd really encourage anyone who'd like to just get really involved in prayer warrior ministry, so to speak, to go to the Archdiocesan website and sign up for those text message alerts.
That's great. Father, it's been great to speak with you about this. We are, again, very grateful that you and your brother priests are signing up for this, are doing this, are putting yourself in on the front lines here as we continue to battle with, of course, the Lord's help, this pandemic. And as we do, we'll support you in prayer. We, of course, continue to need you to provide us with sacraments and blessings. So if I may I ask you for an on-air blessing for all of our listeners, please?
You sure can. All right. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Hedman, thank you. Yeah, amen. Amen. Thanks be to God. And Father, it's been a great pleasure talking with you again. We'll have you on again to continue keeping us posted on your priestly ministry. But until then, we'll uphold you in prayer. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, if you would like to be one of those Anointing Corps prayers, then all you need to do, as Father said, you can go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org, and search for COVID Anointing Corps, and they will give you all the instructions. You can also just text ArchSPM-Anointing, ArchSPM-Anointing to 55321, and that will sign you up to receive those text messages. We're going to head into our first break. When we come back, Jeff Dahls from the St. Paul Monastery is going to be with us to tell us a little bit about the upcoming Christmas at the monastery. Stay with us. Rediscover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
I felt forgiveness in the deep recesses of my soul. I was so empty, and now I'm
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. My next guest is Jeff Dahls, who's the Director of Admission Advancement and Inner Director of the Benedictine Center in St. Paul there, former Director of the Franciscan Spirituality Center in La Crosse. He's married to Maria, his wife of 37 years. They met in high school in St. Cloud. They have two daughters, Rachel and Angela. And he says he loves to read the Christian mystics, especially Teresa of Avila. So, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Patrick. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I think we'll have to have a conversation with you at some point about your Christian mystic reading. That sounds fascinating as well. But for now, anyway, we want to talk a little bit about Christmas at the monastery. So why don't you kick us off? Just tell us what is, I assume we're not just talking about just Christmas as we all know it at the monastery, which many of us are familiar with. So what is Christmas at the monastery, Jeff?
Yeah, well, so in normal years, before the pandemic, it was our main signature fundraising event, but also our way of building community and reaching out to people. So we would have the monastery fully decorated, and people would come. We would have great food and great opportunities for people to interact with the sisters. We had various sales. We had an online auction and some bake sales and a wine wall and those kinds of things. And so it's a wonderful event, and we're hoping to get back to that in 2021. But like a lot of organizations, you know, we've had to adapt with the pandemic. So this year it's going to be an all virtual event, and we've had to be a little bit creative about how we structured it this year to try to replicate some of the feel of our traditional Christmas at the monastery in an online environment. So the main components that we have this year include a marketplace that starts December 7th and runs through the 13th. So some of the items that people would have purchased in the past, like stocking stuffers or gift baskets, mystery gifts, wine, other high-quality donated items, artwork, jewelry, and so forth, those will all be available for sale during the online marketplace portion. Then we also have an auction, and we had always had an auction as part of our event, but people would be able to view the items here. Now people can go to our website, register for the auction, and once they do, they'll be able invited in to preview the auction items and then bid on them on Saturday, December 12th from 2 to 4:30. And two of our kind of bigger items, our experience items, include a dinner with Archbishop Hebda. And that's going to be for the winning bidder and seven of their guests to enjoy a private three-course dinner with Archbishop Hebda, and are hosted by our prior Sister Catherine Nihat. And then also we have a custom-designed labyrinth retreat donated by one of our spiritual directors. And then the final piece of this year's virtual offering is the virtual social hour with the sisters, and that's also going to be on Saturday, December 12th from 3 to 4, and visitors can come into our online social hour room, and we'll have actually sisters in four different locations in the monastery and breakout rooms via the Zoom technology for people to have a few minutes to visit with each group of sister as we rotate through. So that's the gist of what our virtual Christmas at the monastery will be about.
Was that all? Gee, I can't imagine. I mean, seriously, for an event like this that's normally done in person, even the in-person event takes an incredible amount of preparation and of planning, of coordination when it comes to these sorts of things. And now trying to move all of that, and with the added piece of it being virtual, it being online, I can't imagine. Are you okay, Jeff? Are you hanging in there with all this coordination that you've been doing?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to Jennifer Pozon, who's our associate director of Mission Advancement, because she's really carried the ball on a lot of the planning for this, and the rest of the Mission Advancement staff have done just a great job of promoting and marketing this, as well as we've always had a pretty good contingent of faithful volunteers to help with Christmas at the monastery. And this year, you know, a lot of their regular jobs for the in-person event had to be reimagined as we were doing the virtual, and they just came through, you know, with flying colors on, you know, rising to the occasion with, you know, new skills and creative ideas to try to make this work virtually.
Hmm. Well, it is always great to have people around you and surround yourself with people who can give you some really great ideas and help share the load, as it were, help share some of the work. Jeff, why don't you give us an idea about some of the things that will be supported by the money that you raised through this virtual Christmas at the Monastery this year?
Yes. Yeah, so in addition to the ongoing care and support of the sisters here at the monastery, we have two primary outreaches that are on campus here near the monastery. So we have the Maple Tree Child Care Center, which is right next door, and then the Benedictine Center, which is actually part of our facility here. We are, like other places, you know, not only is the monastery closed to the public, but so is the Benedictine Center, but we are trying to continue to offer some online services for the Benedictine Center during the pandemic. And as you can imagine, a lot of our traditional sources of income for the center come from, you know, people staying overnight here or groups coming to use our beautiful sacred space. Well, we don't have that this year, so you know, the money for Christmas at the monastery, in addition to helping the sisters, can also help keep that vital ministry going as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I myself have been out there to the Benedictine Center to do personal days of prayer out there. It's a beautiful, quiet place to get away for a day and pray. And I can imagine that with the lack of being able to do things like that, being able to offer that to the laity around the archdiocese, then yeah, you're looking at needing Christmas at the monastery to go well, shall we say?
Yes.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about this virtual social hour with the sisters. I'm just intrigued by this. First of all, were the sisters, were they all in favor of this? Were they kind of excited about this? Or did they deflate a little bit when you started talking about it?
No, I think they are excited. As you can imagine, the sisters are hungry for interaction with their friends outside as well. Just like, you know, in any kind of long-term care facility, I mean, that's really been, you know, part of the heartbreak, if you will, of the pandemic, is that people just can't visit with each other. And so I think the sisters are really looking forward to that opportunity to visit with people from the outside, that's, you know, some of whom, you know, they were regular visitors to the monastery but just haven't had the opportunity to come here. I think that they're pretty excited about it. Now, I think the technological challenge of it is a little bit intimidating for everybody,
sure,
sisters included. So what we're going to do with this is it'll be roughly an hour from 3 to 4. We'll start off with people gathering to Christmas music. After I get off this call, in fact, I'm going to be running over to the chapel where the sisters are going to be recording a carol that we will be using as part of the intro the virtual social hour. Yeah, so they've been practicing and rehearsing now for a week or so really hone this in. So looking forward to that. So we'll start the event with the carols and Christmas songs, and then we'll have a few opening words from our prior Sister Catherine, and then comes kind of the magic of it, hopefully, which will be the virtual breakout rooms. So from roughly 3:10 to 3:50, we'll have sisters in the dining room, in the library, in the community room, and in one other room I'm blanking on right now. And then we'll also have one virtual room, and we'll have a Zoom master, a great volunteer of ours, Travis Salisbury, who will be orchestrating all this and moving the guests who come into the Zoom from room to room in the monastery. So if I came in, I might be assigned to the sisters in healthcare initially, and then my next stop would be the dining room, and then the community room, and then the library. So by the time that we got to 350, I will have had an opportunity, along with the other people in my group, to visit with all the sisters. And then we come back together at the end as a larger group for a closing blessing from Sister Linda, the prioress, a sub-prioress, as well as additional songs on our way out. So that's the kind of the all the moving parts, and as you can imagine, it took a lot of creative thinking on everybody's part to try to imagine how this would work.
Yeah, what a great way to connect, though, both for the sisters and for those of us who are on the outside and again, not able to visit the sisters. I hope that's a rich and fulfilling time. All right, well, let's get down to brass tacks here. Now, I assume some sort of registration is necessary for this. Where can people go to find out more and to register?
Yes, so you can go to our monastery website, so stpaulsmonastery.org, and then /Christmas will get you to a dedicated page for the Christmas at the Monastery event. And on that page, there are separate registrations for the silent auction and the marketplace, as well as the social hour. And there's all of it is free. So unlike in other years where, you know, we were, providing, food and beverages, there was a charge for the event this year because it's all virtual. It's all free. So, feel free to go on ahead of that. The marketplace starts on the 7th. So you can register for that anytime, either before or after the 7th. And then the auction, also you can get on and register for that. And then the virtual social hour is a separate registration. And we do that more just so we know who's coming, so that we have an idea of how many people to put in the virtual groups as they arrive.
Wow. Well, that's great. It's a, it seems like it's very well coordinated. Jeff, if I may ask you, let me just ask how morale is around the monastery during this time of pandemic. I mean, anything specific that we can be praying for, specifically for our sisters who are there?
I think, you know, as other places, and you know, you've heard stories of senior care facilities where, you know, people are down because of the lack of human contact. You know, they keep each other propped up, but you know, they're missing people just like everyone else. Thankfully, having the limited access of employees and you know, public has kept the sisters safe, and that is our primary concern. So we're very grateful to God for, you know, the health of the sisters and that everybody's, you know, stayed safe for now. But, you know, if we could have prayers for, their morale, that would be wonderful. You know, and I talked about how the employees have been really working hard and trying to be creative, not just for Christmas at the monastery, but to, you know, keep other services going. So, you know, they could use the prayers of the people as well, you know, to keep them energized in doing what they need to do. But they also say that, you know, one of the main things sisters always tell me is make sure the people out there know the sisters are praying for them always, you know, so they've got, you know, their liturgy of the hours going, you know, morning, noon, and evening prayer. They've got a list of prayer requests. If you ever want to send a prayer request to us, you can go to our stpaulsmonastery.org website and then post your prayer request, and the sisters will faithfully keep you in prayer. So we would love to hear from you that way as well.
Okay, wonderful. Well, Jeff, thank you for that. And we will indeed uphold St. Paul's Monastery, all the sisters, and you and the staff there as well in our prayers. Thank you for the good work you've done, Jeff, and you continue to do. May God bless you, and thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
All right. So again, that website is stpaulsmonastery.org. That's ST for the saints, St. Paul's with an S, monastery.org. And if you enter that /Christmas, that will take you right to Christmas at the Monastery, where you can find all kinds of information as well as places to register. And that's where you'll also go once things kick in. Paul and I will hit the details on that again at the end of the show for the online marketplace, the silent auction, and the virtual social hour with the sisters. All right, we're going to go into our next break. When we come back, we've got John Cassidy and Corey LaCroix with us from Our Lady of Grace for our Great Catholic Parishes segment on mass live streaming. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Morning Air. Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
The strategies of Satan. Father Robert McTagg is joining us.
Colton Sheen said that the moment
before we sin, the devil is our defender. He's on our side. After we sin, then the roles are reversed. Then Christ becomes the defender and the devil the accuser. And so the devil fills us with despair.
You know, hearing confessions, one of the lies that Satan does to people is it tells us that we're defined by our sin. And I have to become indignant on behalf of these good souls and say, no, the most important thing about us is our baptism. And it's a relationship with Christ that defines us. And in every instance of temptation, it's identity theft. Satan wants to tell you you're on your own. There's no one you can cut a deal with but me. And we have to stand up and say, no, I'm an adopted child of God. I'm an heir to the kingdom. I don't have to give in.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Joining me now, John Cassidy and Corey LaCroix from Our Lady of Grace. John graduated from Pototino Grace High School and received both his undergraduate and graduate business administration degrees from the University of St. Thomas. He spent the last 29 years in Washington, D.C., working mostly for a workplace ministry called Christians in Commerce, and he is the director of advancement for Our Lady of Grace. Corey LaCroix began his theological studies at St. John's University, finishing his undergrad in 2010 and completed an MAT through the Augustine Institute just this year. Corey and his wife, Alicia, grew up a mile apart in Buffalo, Minnesota, and are proud parents of four children. And he is the associate for mission at Our Lady of Grace. John and Corey, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Patrick.
Yeah, great to have you both on. Thank you for joining us. So, all right, so we want to talk about mass live streaming here. And of course, that's going on in many, many parishes across the Archdiocese as well as around the country. But I want OLG specific, their take on it, and if you will, your take on it. So in the early stages of COVID, people are scrambling around trying to figure out what to do with masses. What's going on at that time in the very early stages of the pandemic at Our Lady of Grace? John, let's start with you.
Well, Patrick, that's a great question. We were very fortunate and blessed that we had a parishioner who has helped and assisted the parish here with doing live streaming to care for our needs during Easter and Christmas. And so when he saw the need, we actually, the first weekend of COVID, so back like March 15th, we actually implemented a live streaming option here at Our Lady of Grace, and then promoted that to our parish community by sending out a mailer that basically said, Renewing Faith at Home with OLG. Oh. And so it promoted the opportunity that we actually have this live streaming mass available on YouTube. And then through the generosity of Fox 9 Plus, we actually were able to broadcast it at 12 noon. So we were able, right from the start, to have a capability of bringing hope and joy and the actual mass into the homes of the parishioners, but more importantly, into the community here in Minneapolis-St. Paul to be able to view the mass. And we've now grown that to a pretty sizable audience that actually is over 100,000 people have viewed it on YouTube. And we have probably 4,000 individuals, households watch it every broadcast Sunday.
Mm. Corey, let me ask you, now I know you do some work with young adults there at OLG as well, and what was the overall feeling in terms of getting this done and getting it done quickly when the pandemic first started? Was there a sense of, yeah, we need to get this going right away here as the pandemic's going, we need to get live stream mass going?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that I would say there was a huge sense of urgency on our part. What I would say is piggybacking off of John is that we had a parishioner that stepped forward and who was just very willing. And he said, "Hey, if you want to do this, we can do this." And we were like, "Yeah, let's absolutely." And then I would say early on, I think so many of us were somewhat reeling, right? Like, I had this time. There's so many unknowns about, you know, my health, about my job, about, you know, our faith community. And so this became something that people could invest into, both in their desire to serve, but also in their desire to stay connected to the parish. Yeah, so just again to say thank you to that parishioner who stepped forward just with that open and willing heart to serve our community.
It's very needful, as I was just saying in the previous interview, how important it is to get the body of Christ around you to support and to share the load, as it were, with some of these important things that these important ways that we've had to be creative during the pandemic. Corey, let me ask you too, was there, in terms of maybe some of the younger members of OLG, was this welcome? Do you have a way of sensing how live stream mass has been received, especially by the younger members of the parish?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you and say I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, right? Like, the Eucharist is physical, and so to be apart from the Eucharist is always hard, right?
Yeah,
so
of course
that longing is present and it's real. So I think our young professionals were thankful to engage when they couldn't be here physically. But I would say actually it's probably our older population, maybe those more at-risk populations, that we keep continuing to hear week in and out of how thankful they are to be able to pray with their parish community or to pray from afar, because their parish, wherever they are in the state of Minnesota or across the country for that matter, doesn't have access to technology to make the mass available online.
Mm-hmm. You know, Patrick, you bring up a good point in regards to the audience and the beautiful part of our technologies now. We can do some research, and the analytics would show that actually, as Corey was saying, the 65-plus segment is about 28% of those that watch on YouTube. But okay, the next two audiences is actually the 25 to 34 and the 35 to 44. And those two audiences actually is about 35%. So one-third of those that are tuning in via YouTube are actually that sweet spot of the young professional or the young adult. And so it's really nice that they have looked and said, with this technology, they can utilize the technologies they know well, and they're actually joining us. And another one that I think is kind of fascinating that Corey kind of mentioned was, over 60% of the audience is only in Minnesota. So again, Minnesota only is 60% of those that are watching our live stream. So that means we are serving the global church in multiple states with our, you know, YouTube live stream mass.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. John, let me stay with you then, too, to ask, in terms of your role as Director of Advancement for both the parish and the school there at OLG, what role has live stream masses played in terms of keeping the parish connected, specifically connected in terms of community, so that there's a common focus on mission and how we continue to move forward during the pandemic?
That's a great question. I think there's two things. One, we also do our school mass. So we've done in excess of maybe 25, 30 school masses. So we've been able to contain that spirit of unity, both church and school, during this time. So the students are encouraged to be in uniform when we have our school masses.
Nice.
And it allowed us to, you know, not only have that feature for that, but also we had a beautiful principal here, Mrs. Trinari, who made a career decision that she's starting another career, but she had an exit during the pandemic. And through that, when she left, they threw a huge celebration. So that whole thing was live streamed, and we had a, you know, parade. And so, you know, being able to make sure that people see that it's connected, providing those types of masses. And we've also provided funerals. We provide weddings. So it is encompassing wherever you are in your state in life. We're providing an actual vehicle to bring Christ known and loved through the gospel message in through Mass or through any of those other services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very important. Wow, that's great stuff. Corey, let me ask you, what about mission in terms of this? Now, John told us that this is reaching out far beyond even the Archdiocese, even beyond the state of Minnesota. Any thoughts as to what kind of an effect it's having on a more widespread level, and then what kind of an effect it could have, that could have in the parish in years to come?
Yeah, I think one of the opportunities that's been presented to us as a community is the chance to share Sunday Mass with a simple click of a button, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can highlight this YouTube link and I say, hey, I can't be at Mass this weekend because of a state mandate, or because I'm sick, or because I'm in quarantine. Would you want to join Mass with me, you know, in viewing, and then maybe we can follow up afterwards? So we have received multiple letters here in the parish about, you know, I haven't been to Mass in years, but, you know, I found myself watching, and now I'm still watching, and I want to take that next step. I'm curious about this. We'll have people write in and say, hey, can I just get this clip from Father Kevin or Father Nathan's homily so I can share it with a friend? So you people will have this very tangible and easy way to say, I experienced something on Sunday and I want to share it with somebody else. And now all I have to do is say, hey, I witnessed this, I saw this, I experienced this. I want you to see it too.
Yeah. I think it is a great first, you know, an open door to sharing the experience of Mass. Although, as you already said, Corey, it's obviously no substitute for in-person being there for the sacrifice of the Mass and receiving Holy Communion, of course. But at the same time, it's there, and it's certainly a way of sharing. John, let me go back to you. Any plans for Christmas Masses in terms of live streaming?
We actually do. In fact, we're bringing Christmas at home, so we just sent our mailer to all of our parishioners, and we will be live streaming the Mass on Christmas Eve at 3:30 on YouTube. But we are actually televising and broadcasting on Christmas Day on Fox 9 in addition to 9 Plus. So I've been able to secure both the Fox 9 channel, KMST9, and 9 Plus for Christmas Day at 12 noon. And that will be the broadcasted Mass of our Christmas Eve Mass at 3:30 p.m.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Wonderful that there's that opportunity to have it even over the television as well. Corey, I know John has said a couple times that these live stream Masses are available on YouTube. How specifically could people find you when they go to YouTube?
Yeah, if you go to YouTube and type in Our Lady of Grace Church, there's a couple options, but I think now because of the number of streams and views, we are on the top three. Another way would be go to olgparish.org/live-mass. Mm. Mass-live. There you go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. olgparish.org/mass-live. Have I got that right?
You got it.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Well, gentlemen, it's an amazing thing as you continue to do this. Any ways that we can pray for you and the parish as you continue on through this, through offering these live stream Masses in this pandemic? John?
I'd say the biggest thing is pray for those who are, you know, actually in need. Let us restore their joy and bring hope and bring comfort during these times where this Mass may be that glimmer. So for all of our parishioners, but more importantly, all of those who are homebound, mm-hmm. and we just have a mind of compassion and love for them. So just let's keep all those in need in our mind and our heart these days, that we can just restore hope and that the church can look at this vehicle as a new evangelization.
Fantastic. How about you, Corey? Any suggestions for prayer requests?
Yeah, you know, I think if we could just hold in prayer all those who might come across any digital media, that proclaims the love or the name of Jesus. Pope Paul VI said that modern man is increasingly becoming a man of the image, or today he lives in the civilization of the image. And so certainly we are encountering images every day, but you know, let us pray for those people who are encountering those images that speak of God and his love for them, that it might inspire them to ask a question, ask a friend, take a step, maybe even click on a YouTube link to take that next step closer to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, wonderful. Great. We will do that. John Cassidy, Corey LaCroix, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour, and a blessed Advent to you both.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. All right, we're going to head into our next and final break. When we come back, Paul and I will hit the basics of that Christmas at the monastery again, as well as some other events coming up. Stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Teach the children. Teach the children. Get
with the Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Even with promising news on a COVID vaccine, we're still a long way from being out of the woods. Remember to wear your mask in public and when we go to Mass. And if you aren't venturing out for Mass, check out archfpm.org/COVID-19 for many spiritual resources and alternatives to in-person Mass.
And you can always hear daily Mass and devotions here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Start your day in prayer and reflection with Daybreak at 4 a.m., listen to Daily Mass at noon and 7:30 p.m. Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 with Drew Mariani. And don't forget the Family Rosary Across America, 7 o'clock in the evening. Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
As we heard on the program today, the Sisters of St. Benedict of St. Paul's Monastery cordially invite you to the 13th annual Christmas at the Monastery fundraiser. This year, all Christmas at the Monastery events will be virtual. The online marketplace begins December 7th. And the silent auction and virtual social hour with the sisters will be December 12th. For more information, links, and registration, visit stpaulsmonastery.org.
Holy Cross Catholic Church of Northeast Minneapolis will present a series of virtual organ recitals for Advent. Programs will be broadcast online each Sunday of December, 5:30 to 6:15 p.m. The recitals are free to the public, donations encouraged. For more information and the link to watch, visit archspm.org/events.
And be sure to check out that archspm.org/events for other upcoming events around the Archdiocese. And remember, you can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Just go to archspm.org/evangelization and enter your email address.
And remember, there's still a synod going on. Visit archspm.org/synod for all sorts of information, resources, videos, and more. For our Archdiocesan Year of St. Joseph, the Healing and Hope Virtual Retreat, and the Praying with Scripture series. And don't forget to follow Rediscover Faith on Facebook and Evangelization ArchSPM on Instagram.
Yeah, good stuff there. There's always ways to be connected. Thanks be to God with this technology we have. Are you staying connected, Paul?
I'm staying connected.
Okay,
you can't get rid of me.
Well, I don't know that we would even try, Paul. You do us such a good service there. And thank you for that continued service, Paul. And thank you, folks, for listening to the Rediscover Hour. In case you missed the announcement last week, want to drop it in here at the end of the program as well, just to let you know that we are undergoing a rebrand. And so come January 1st, 2021, it'll no longer be the Rediscover Hour, but it'll be the the show Practicing Catholic will be the new name of the show. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised about the content as well as ways to access the show coming up then. But for now, we're going to continue on with the Rediscover Hour for the next couple of weeks. Coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from some Advent traditions from the Hebda household that our Archbishop grew up with, as well as some tips from His Excellency on preparing our hearts for Christ's birth. Also, Bob Swift from the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake joins us to share about the importance of adult catechesis and evangelization. That's all coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. Thanks for tuning in this time, folks. In the meantime, go to church or stay at home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturday afternoon at 1, and Sunday afternoon at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.